Morning, everybody.
Morning.
You guys can turn your Bibles to the book of 2 John. I promised you I was going to take a detour or two somewhere along the way from Romans, so today's a detour. We're in 2 John. Just a couple comments, public reading. I remember a message. Mr. Simpson actually preached it from the Samuel passage, but great message. Mi casa, su casa. My house is your house. You know, it's not possible for us to build a house that the eternal God can dwell in. God's intention never was for a physical dwelling place. He's a spiritual God. Physical dwelling place isn't going to be His dwelling place. But He does say, I'm going to build a house. There's an immediate fulfillment, direct physical fulfillment of this prophecy in Solomon building a physical temple. But the real fulfillment of this prophecy is about Jesus. You don't believe me on that? Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Or I think it might be Hebrews chapter 2. Not sure. One of those two chapters. It's Jesus going to build this house. And this is a house for God, but it's also our house, isn't it? And that was the point of Mr. Simpson's message. God, my house is your house. Because we have an eternal dwelling place with God. And this meal today that we partake of is a reminder. It's a reminder of the past of what Christ has done. It's a communication of right now, the present, where we are with God and with Christ because of what Jesus has done for us. And it's also a look forward to the future of our eternal dwelling place with the Father. We, among all people, are so blessed. It is a tremendous blessing to get to be a part of God's eternal kingdom. I'm appreciative also for the stewardship and Lord's Supper meditations today. I was thinking the stewardship of Rich reminded me, there's a lot of good points, but it was something that kind of jumped out at me. He was talking about, you know, basically us giving to the Lord, and he said, I don't want you to, well, anyways, I'll just get to the joke, okay? So, there's a preacher come up one day, and he's up there, and he's preaching about tithing, and, you know, how we need to give more, and we need to, you know, don't be bringing your lamb for sacrifice, and let's bring it to the Lord. Well, after he gets done with the message, the song leader gets up there and says, hey, turn your hymn books, and this morning we're going to sing, Jesus Paid It All. And the preacher was like, why did you do that? Why'd you go and lead that song? Well, the next time, preacher's up there and he's like talking about alcohol and we gotta get rid of it, man. It needs to be out of, like, it is a problem. It's a scourge in this community. It's a problem for some of the people in this congregation. We need to get rid of it. Totally. Anything you got in your house, I want you to go, I want you to take it down, I want you to pour it in the river. And the song leader gets up there and says, shall we gather at the river? And then, the preacher gets up there and he says, It's been a joy working with you and spending time with you, and I'm announcing that 3 months from now I'm going to retire. And the song leader gets up there and says, let's turn in our hymn books to number 432, Why Not Tonight? Anyways, so thank you, Rich, for I was paying attention to your stewardship. My mind just had some fun with that. And then the Lord's Supper meditation, too, I really enjoyed. Just a, you know, reminder, realistically. That was always one of my favorite stories, actually, as a kid. Elisha, the prophet, and they're surrounded, and his servant is just worried about the situation and doesn't know what to do. And Elisha's prayer, you know, God, open their eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. And, brethren, we need to have our spiritual eyes opened. When we see, you know, Romans 8 says, if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? Just a beautiful reminder and picture that Jesus is, He is head over this kingdom, and He is protective of His kingdom, of His people. And our eyes need to be open to that. Thank you for that reminder. All right, we're in 2 John, guys. 2 John chapter 1. If there are more than one chapter, you're not in the right John. Okay? 2 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. And now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Let's pray. Lord, we praise your great and glorious name, your holy name. Father, we're so thankful what you've done for us through Christ. We're thankful for the church to be a part of it. We're appreciative for the reminders that you give us in your word, not only of whom you've made us to be, but of how you want us to walk. Lord, I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that we can consider, really in the body of Christ, the importance of the chosen lady. Thankful for the faithful women who bring their gifts to the body, and really the representation, Lord, that you have chosen to picture the church as this chosen lady. I ask this all through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we've been working through Romans chapter 12 and different gifts in the body of Christ. And so, you know, as we transition the next part there in Romans 12, I was just thinking, you know, so often men have a center, front and center sort of role in the body of Christ. And, you know, there's a reason for that. I'm not preaching on that today. I'll just say I got to accompany the Goals and the Biscos to a function in Bozeman, Montana, of a nonprofit. And, you know, Josh and Ricky's comment to me was, it could have used a stronger male presence. And that is the truth. It would have been helpful for that. Hey, there's a reason that God has things set up the way that he does in the church. But that being said, women often have a role that's, well, it's much more behind the scenes. And I just want to say, the more you know about something, the more you appreciate what happens behind the scenes. I'll just give you an example. You take a bunch of 5-year-old kids playing soccer, and the parents are out there, and what do the parents want? And what do those kids want when they're 5 years old playing soccer? All they want to see their kids score a goal. Right? Please, just one, even if, you know, depending on the kind of kid, one goal this year. Please, please, please. Okay? Now, by the time you're playing professional soccer, okay, there's only a few people on that team that the expectation is going to be that they score goals. Okay? The team's supposed to score some goals, don't get me wrong, but there's different players on the team, and many of those players, you would expect they can go through the entire season and not score one goal. But how important are they to that team? But to somebody who doesn't know anything about the sport, it's like they don't even recognize what those people bring. Does that make sense? And so oftentimes I think, you know, in the body of Christ, it's easy to recognize people who get up front. Like, I'll just say me. Okay, yeah, you guys are gonna, it's hard to miss me. But we sometimes miss what other brethren do. And so today, I'm not going to get into some specifics. Last time I talked about some specific gifts that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12. I just want to speak generally today about women and the importance that women have in the body of Christ. Because realistically, ladies, you make the whole church go. You really set the culture of local congregation. And so when I was in the Philippines, actually I did a Bible study about this, because when we were there, there's some very influential women, I recognize that, in the body of Christ there. And the reason particularly in Batak, in that congregation there. And the reason that that congregation has been able to grow and thrive, I figured out very quickly, there's two or three very key influential women that have made a huge impact and created an environment for the church to be able to grow. And so I shared that in a Bible study. I was like, man, that was a good Bible study. And I've been wanting to, I don't know how it's going to be as a message because they are kind of different. But in a Bible study, it was really fun to do. And I thought, you know, this is a good time to bring that up in the body of Christ. We're talking about gifts within the body. So we'll see how it turns into the message. But I do want you to notice John writes here. Hey, this is an elder. John's an elder at the church in Jerusalem. And he writes to the chosen lady and her children. Now, is there a particular woman that John's writing to? I don't know. And I'll tell you why I'm not sure about that. I think my take on it is there is a particular lady that John is writing to. And he's proud of her. And he's proud of her and her children. But it's saved for all of us because the chosen lady is a representative of the church of Jesus Christ. Without veering off into this, Revelation chapter 12 speaks about the woman and her offspring. And that ends up being, it's a picture of the church. Okay, so consistently throughout the scripture. But my guess, my take, and it's just my opinion on this because it's not definitive, but my take is that there's actually a particular woman that John's writing to and he's proud of her. And he's appreciative and he calls her the chosen lady. He's thankful for her and her children and their ongoing faithfulness. You know, her children are walking in the truth. He talks about their love for one another. And I'm going to kind of come back to that at the end of this message. But I want to key in on the chosen lady. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 1. I have no idea, by the way, if this is even close to the Bible study I did there, because it was a lot of months ago and I didn't do any notes, so hopefully it was good. The Bible study was good, I'll tell you that. The message, I'll let you decide if it's good, but it might be totally different. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. At the creation, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I just want you to consider with me for a second. God made man in his image. He says, male and female. I know people have a weird conception of God, but Scripture, let me just ask you a question. I mean, evolutionists have fun with this because they see some similarity in the animal kingdom between humans and other animals. Physically, that is true, isn't it? There's some similarity. I think it's really simple. You have an engineer and he has a design template and he just makes changes for different things for this environment here to be able to survive. Makes perfect sense. But I want to ask you a question today. When God made man in his image, he did not make the animals in his image. He made man in his image. But when he made man in his image, he's very clear about this, he made us male and female in his image. Guys, God is not a physical being. God is spirit, Scripture says. Jesus is clear about that. God is spirit. So, what I'm driving at here is that when God made man in his image, male and female, that the differences between male and female are not just in the physical body. There are differences in the way that we're wired. We'd say in our spirit, in our soul. There's a difference between men and women. And both of us are created in God's image. Both of us are designed to reflect the character of God. Does that make sense? So, what are my notes? If we're honest, guys, if we're honest, we understand. I know that we live in a really messed up world about when it comes to this stuff, and you know, it's been a transition. If we're honest about how we get here, trying to take away women's traditional roles, put them in the role of men, and now we can't even figure out, people self-identify as different genders, and you know, It's weird. Okay? It's not weird. It's insane. Okay? But where it started from, the progression of this, is to actually step away from the God-designed roles, the way that He made us, and to deny that there's any differences in the first place between men and women. And without getting into this too much, there are some people who read the Bible at a surface level and they think that God is like a male chauvinist. Understanding, guys, true Christianity is the only way that females actually receive their proper recognition as those who are made in the image of God as joint heirs. In other words, I'll just say this from 1 Peter chapter 3. God is very clear that woman has equal value for eternity as man. And that's the value that matters. So God doesn't say that women are just as strong physically as men. No, He actually says there's some differences. And there's even differences inside. In the way that we're wired, He made us that way. But it's designed for all of us to reflect the image of God. And if we're honest, come on, let's be honest. We understand there are differences between men and women. Anybody that's been married understands there's a difference. Any of your communication breakdown. I don't know. I'm appreciative for my mom for many things and trying to make us be cultured. But, there's a few hours I'd like to have back in my life. And one of those is My Fair Lady. Okay? My mom made me watch, and that was a long movie. I think it was 3+ hours. This wasn't, But in there somewhere, the guy who is a male chauvinist, but he's like, why can't a woman be more like a man? He's just driving him nuts because he can't. I'm just speaking on behalf of the male side of the human race. Sometimes there's communication stuff, and it's like, we're struggling to, we're not talking the same language. Okay? Why is that? Because God made men and women different. Okay? It's an issue in marriage. Okay? Matter of fact, the Love and Respect series the guy did, he talks about men are speaking with blue megaphones. And women are hearing with pink hearing aids. Okay? And vice versa. There's a difference. Sometimes what are you talking about? Julie and I sometimes we just laugh. We just look at each other and laugh. We can't figure out what in the world the other one's talking about. Okay? Thankfully we're long enough into this we can just laugh. We don't cry. Okay? But there's a difference. Anybody with boys and girls as children understands there's a difference. Okay? Boys they're just naturally, they come out of the womb pretty much rough and tumble. I remember my boys, I would ask them at night, oftentimes, you guys want a punch or a kiss? They would, without fail, pick a punch. Every once in a while, they'd say both. But they never once chose a kiss over a punch. They just loved, the little thumping. And the first time they actually hit me and it legitimately hurt me, oh, they loved that. This, I am a man. Okay? And girls aren't like that. I did have to remind my girls a few times because they had two older brothers that the boys wrestle and girls give hugs. They wouldn't have minded joining some of the wrestling matches. But girls just, they want to hug and to cuddle. Okay? Lots of different ways to explain this. But one of my favorites was, there was at Justin and Jennifer's wedding. And I'm doing the wedding, and there's Caleb, and there's one of the Bueller girls, and they're both 5 or 6 years old maybe at the time. And she's sitting there I'm sitting there doing the wedding, and I'm noticing her, and she's just looking at Caleb across the way googly-eyed. I'm watching this 6-year-old girl, this is her wedding taking place. She got all planned out. She just met this guy yesterday, but he is a cute little bugger, and she didn't, this is... And Caleb, he is oblivious, and he's counting people in the chair. 1, 2. There's differences. We're wired differently. Okay? That's my point. When the tragedy took place in 9/11, 99% of the people that went back in to rescue were men. Those people knew they were going back into their death. Okay? And God wired men to be able to shove those emotions into a place and say, I'm going to die, but it's the right thing to do. And the women were what? They were protecting and those who were on the outside. Hey, aren't you glad there's both, guys? Hey, the women to take those who were safe and keep them safe and to protect them and to take care of them. Women are generally, and I understand there's some generalizations today, okay, but I'm just trying to do a generalization from the scripture that most of us can relate to. Women are generally, they're gentle and protective. You know, I mentioned earlier, the woman is the hub of the family unit. And women have a tremendous role in raising children. I'm not going to go there, but in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul actually, as he's talking to Timothy, you know, the woman, he contrasts Adam and Eve. Okay, when Adam sinned, guys, Adam knew what he was doing. When Eve sinned, she was deceived. Okay? That's why Adam is actually attributed to the first sin. He's held accountable for that. Okay? But he says women should be saved or women should be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and sanctity and love with self-restraint. Okay? In other words, guys, I would say this. Primary on a woman's role within the family. If you have children, if you don't have children, then there's some other ways that you can use this. But if you have children, the primary means is you have a responsibility of bringing up those children, okay, in the sight of God. Okay, to make sure your children made it to heaven. Like that's part of your salvation. God gives that to you, women, as a primary role. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to just quickly hit some influential women in the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I guess what I'm saying is sometimes I think all of us can fight through a little bit of struggles with, am I important? Does my life count? Is what I do make a difference? And in the nature, the church, the nature of the way it's set up, because women are naturally, you're not the ones up front preaching the message. You're not the ones who are getting, hey, good job. You're not, wow, I've really seen you grow, because we can, sometimes it's, you don't get that recognition. And, but God notices in what I'm telling you. And that's the important thing anyways in all this, is that God notices. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes to Timothy, he says in verse 5, he said, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. If you know anything about the story of Timothy, his dad's a Gentile. And yet Timothy, he, from the time he was a young man, he was well respected, well spoken of by the brethren. He was a guy that Paul had confidence he could take with him on his journey and be a helper. And it was because of his mother's and his grandmother's faith. Women, do not ever underestimate the importance that you have in the salvation of your children and your grandchildren. That is a primary role that God has given you. And let's think about some other women. How about some women in Jesus' ministry? You start thinking about the names, Mary and Martha, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Salome, Joanna, and a group Luke calls the other women. There's a lot of women who are very actively engaged. You know, sometimes we can think about Jesus and his apostles. And yeah, the 12 apostles were there. But there's a group the scripture speaks of as the women. And they contributed mightily to Jesus' ministry. They were so important in his ministry. Many of them provided to him, to his support out of their private means. There are ladies in this congregation who I'll just say it in the same way. They've helped me financially by just giving me money out of their own. That these ladies were doing that for Jesus on his ministry. They were keeping him going. They would minister to Jesus. They would take, the scriptures uses those terms, they'd minister to him. They would take care of him. Make sure he was probably fed. Make sure he had lunches packed for his next trip. I mean, it doesn't give us the details. It just says they would minister to him. But in the context, you read it, you get in the, that's what you're getting. They're taking care of him. They're making sure his needs are met. They were the one who took spices to his tomb after he was Dad, you know, I thought this was neat. You know, Michael's memorial. Who really took care of that? I mean, Clint and I, we did the service up front, but who took care of everything? Who made sure that the picture board was there? Who made sure that there were flowers? Who made sure that, you know, the programs were done? Women in the church thinking of those things and taking care of that emotional side that's so important. Let me ask you this. Was Jesus' resurrection a big deal? It's like we could say from a physical view, Jesus' resurrection is the most important event that was able to be seen physically in all of history. Past, present, future. Maybe his return we could put there with that. But who was the first person Jesus appeared to after his resurrection? Mary Magdalene, a woman. Okay? She would recognize him. I mean, took her a little bit, but they're interested. They cared about it. How about Priscilla in the scriptures? You know, we got Aquila and Priscilla. But how does the scripture usually say that? You ever notice that? Priscilla and Aquila. The woman's name is first. I get the impression that she was, you know, just, I don't know the personality, but she was so involved in that. She was more than just kind of a second rate helper. She was the one who was super important in the work that they did. In many ways, even the driving force and the right ways behind that. Go back with me to Proverbs chapter 31. I'm going to read this morning this entire section because a beautiful description. Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to our maidens. I don't have time. I'm not preaching through all this. I'm just going to say, women, I want you to consider this. Like, and men, stop and consider what women do. They're the ones up all night. They're the ones up early in the morning. They're the ones up late at night after everybody. Like, they keep things going through their hard work, even. All right, where am I at? Verse 16. She considers a field and buys it from her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She's not limited to work in the house, is she? Some people say, well, she's only allowed to work in the house. That's not the picture I get from the scripture. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She pays attention about people and their needs and reaches out and takes care of them. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I like this one, because what in the world does her husband have to do with this? Oh, the reason he is known and respected is because the way his wife treats him and talks about him. And all, I could preach on that for a long time. It's the woman who this is why this man is worthy of respect. It's because of the woman, who she is, and what she does. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them, supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I like the fact that she not only is kind, but she teaches kindness with her tongue. Verse 28, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Well, brethren, just a couple things I want to say. We know from the rest of Scripture that God uses marriage to communicate the relationship ultimately of Christ and the church. And we know within that, that the husband is representative of Christ and that the bride is the representative of the church. And so Proverbs 31 takes the woman, this great godly woman, who many, many of you ladies exhibit this. This is who you are. And the Scripture paints that the picture. That's who the church is supposed to be in the spiritual sense. The Proverbs 31 woman is about the church. And ladies, you represent the church in your everyday behavior, the things that you do, your attitude, your spirit. We all know that the heavenly Jerusalem is the church, right? If you don't know that, see Mr. Simpson in Hebrews 12. Okay? I'm not going to define that for you today. But the Scripture makes that point, Hebrews chapter 12. Heavenly Jerusalem is the church. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4 really quickly. Galatians chapter 4, I just want to read one verse. Galatians 4:26. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. Brethren, God is our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 12 makes that point. God is, He's disciplinarian even, isn't He? He's loving, but He's tough love. And we in Christ is as the Father. But the church plays the role of the mother. And yes, if you look at that, where we started from, this woman, her children were walking in the truth. This woman was committed to truth. But her children also were with love. And representative of the truth, joined together with love. The church is to, well, women set the culture of the church, and the church is to portray truth and love. I just think about my mom growing up. You know, my dad, many of you know my dad. He's gotten better about this. He's gotten older. But still, you give my dad a hug, and that back is stiff, man. You know, most of you try to give him a hug. You probably haven't got to, many of you. Because when you're coming to give my dad a hug, holy handshake, man. So, and my dad's, he's a tough guy. I mean, he's a short little guy, but you seen the paws and stuff. My dad's a tough guy. But growing up, man, there's so many things about my mom I love, but one of the things I loved about my mom was the soft touch. My mom was just gentle and soft. I loved to hug my mom. I loved to cuddle up against her arm. I loved my mom would take her nails and like rub them up and down my arm. I just loved that. My dad didn't do that. That would have been weird if he did, right? Okay? That'd be really weird. But my mom, I love that from my mom. And one of my favorite things too about my mom is, like, after I get home from school, and, you know, this is like when I was in high school. I get home from school, I mean, it was through my whole life, but my memories right now are, in high school, I get home from school and you come into the kitchen and, like, it smells like chocolate chip cookies. And it's warm, and she's in there, and she's just like the most comfortable person in the world to talk to. Like, you can talk to her about anything. My dad was a good guy, but there were certain things, like, I wasn't going to talk to my dad about girls. Just wasn't going to. But my mom, I could talk to my mom about anything. I could even tell my mom about stuff where I messed up. Now, hear this in the right way, please, but one thing I love about my mom, you could talk to her, and she would listen to you, and there was no fear of judgment. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. My mom, there were times she, like, got on my case in the right ways. There were times, even in some of those talks, that she would, like, there was some stuff like, that's not the way you live your life, you know, and so we would, but what I'm saying is you could talk to her and be real about where you're at. Guys, isn't that the way the church should be? Like, the in the spiritual way, the smell of chocolate chip cookies. In the right way, like you can talk and be real and know that people aren't going to run you out the back because you did what? You know what I'm saying? There's a standard. And we're not talking about changing the standard. Anybody that knew my mom, like the standard didn't change. This woman, this chosen lady, like truth is still there. And truth's the standard. But it was truth with love. And all of us know spiritually, like, there's a process that we go through in growing. And moms are so good about that. About understanding, being in touch with their kids and understanding where they are, at what age, and like going through, because that's the church and it's a reflection of the character of God. We do stand on truth here, and we always will. But we're also filled with love here. That warm and comforting, inviting. It's the church. That's who the woman is. That's who the church is. And women, you are so important in the body of Christ. You know, I said you're the hub of the family and you're the hub of the spiritual family. You really set the culture of a local congregation. And I just want to commend you. Tell you I think you're doing great. I appreciate you. We could go into all sorts of details. I didn't even hit details today. Just general stuff. Who you are and the way God sees you and what you bring to the body of Christ. There is a chosen lady and her children. Brethren, well, I hope we all of us, learn from the ladies that are great examples and that we bring that, whether we're male or female, that we bring that to the church. Because the church, the Lord, He's our Father. The church, she's our mother. And God set this up for this to be a place where we grow. It's like a spiritual incubator where our inner man grows to where we're ready for our eternal home in heaven. Ladies, I appreciate you and what you bring to this body. And I hope that all of us can learn from that and reflect that, and the church can be that Proverbs 31 woman. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. We're thankful for the chosen lady and her children. We are so grateful for the church and the place that we place, the people, the environment, the spirit, Lord, is the word that you use, your spirit that lives among us. We're thankful for all the behind the scenes things the ladies do. We're thankful for the teachings they give our children, whether it be through the Monday through Friday school or the Sunday school. We're thankful for the ways that they show their care for each other. For all of us. Lord, we're just tremendously blessed in this congregation. And I ask that we would continue to grow in those ways and continue to be the bride, Father, who you want us to be. We're thankful for your strength. We're thankful that you redeemed us and clothed us with Christ. You've given us these precious garments, this really fine linen and purple. Lord, we could talk about that. But you've also said that you've given to us to clothe ourselves with these things. So you've provided the garments and you've given us the ability through your grace to do this. But Father, you want us to put these garments on. You want us to demonstrate this spirit in our lives. We're just appreciative spiritually for the ladies, the help that they bring. And I ask, Father, that through you, through your grace that they all would be encouraged today, and that as a congregation, Father, we can reflect your character as the female part of this relationship. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.